Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films: Scout's Honor, The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America, Good Boy, and King on Screen.
I'd like to talk about three films today, which, as sometimes happens, are very different from each other, although two of them are documentaries. And the first one I'd like to talk about is called Scout's Honor, The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America. And if that secret files business makes it sound a little bit sinister, yeah, this is quite a sinister documentary in some ways. And what it deals with are the enormous number of cases of sex abuse that have been filed against the Boy Scouts of America over the decades. There have been more than 80,000 such cases that are, I guess, in the official record. And this is quite astonishing when you figure we're talking about the Boy Scouts of America here. I was in the Boy Scouts very, very many years ago for a very short period of time. It wasn't my cup of tea, as they say. My kids were in it for even a shorter time when they were young. So I can't say that we've ever been a Boy Scouts family, especially. But I have to say that what has come out about the Boy Scouts in recent years has been pretty shocking. And this is exactly what this documentary deals with. I should mention that it was directed by Brian Knappenberger. Well, I'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, about the actual substance of this movie. First of all, there have been more than 80,000, well over 80,000 sexual assault claims filed against the Boy Scouts of America, which is pretty scary. Also, apparently, and this is the secret files business here, they kept internal records of volunteers who they didn't want to have back again. However, it appears that when somebody who wanted to work with the Boy Scouts were said to be ineligible or was maybe even facing some kind of claims of child sexual abuse, the Boy Scouts organization would sort of put a note in the file, and this was called the red flag list, but they would keep this quiet. And apparently there were people who were able to just move to a different place and return to volunteering with the Boy Scouts again and doing who knows what. This reminds me of some things that have happened with the Roman Catholic Church and the scandals there, where priests were sometimes just shuffled from one parish to another and things were never actually addressed. Also, the Boy Scouts apparently kept a whole lot of this stuff secret, never told anything about this to the public. And interestingly, there was a person who for a while was the chair of the Youth Protection Task Force within the Boy Scouts, who eventually they had to let him go because he was under criminal investigation for charges of having child pornography. So, you know, as the movie progressed, it's just sort of one horror story after another. Of course, that's what the movie is aiming for, but it succeeds in getting them. There was also something that happened in New Orleans, a city I know somewhat well, where back in the 70s, there was a whole child sex ring apparently going on there that involved the Boy Scouts. So all kinds of awful stuff. So that is what this movie is about. And of course, the title is extremely ironic, Scout's Honor: The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America. So, the trouble with this movie is that it, as a movie, as a documentary, it is just so ordinary. And despite the horrifying nature of the subject matter, it is so dull that after a while I was kind of yawning. Again, the content of it, the things that it has to reveal, the things that it has to say about the Boy Scouts of America, and the parts of the scandal that still persist to this day are hair-raising and well worth taking in. I just wish that the movie wasn't constantly going back to the same footage of the Boy Scout headquarters and the same footage of this person and the same footage of that person. It gets really, really dull after a while. It's not that long. It's a little over an hour and a half, but I found it quite dull. dull in a lot of ways. One thing that is not dull, however, are the many interviews with a couple of top people in the Boy Scouts addressing these charges and these accusations and this history, and just kind of weaving and dodging their way around them and coming up with talking points rather than real answers and that sort of thing. So that's another very interesting aspect of the documentary and a very frustrating one. So we have a case here, in my opinion, of a movie which is very bad filmmaking, but which is very important and interesting subject matter. So people can make their choice about seeing it according to that. I certainly wish it were a better and more dynamic and more engaging documentary instead of being so dull. But the things that it has to tell us are important and interesting, and we should all be taking notice of that. Scout's Honor, a dull documentary, but a very important and interesting subject. Now, I said that I was going to talk about movies that are very different from each other today, and the next one could not be more different because it is not only a fiction film, but it's a pretty wild and wacky kind of fiction film. And it is called Good Boy, and it is a Norwegian film, although it's in English, written and directed by Viljar Boe, and it is, the title may make you think of your dog. Good Boy. Hey, Good Boy. And this movie is about a dog in a way. And it is the way in which it is about a dog that makes it an interesting movie. So we have here a young woman named Sigrid, and she goes on an online date that she set up online with a young man named Christian. And they both seem like very nice people. Christian is a little bit shy. Sigrid is very outgoing and self-confident. And they go and they have dinner and they drink some wine and they have a nice conversation. And it doesn't look like maybe they're ideally matched with each other, but they seem to be both nice young people. And who knows, maybe something will come of this. Sigrid then is talking with a friend of hers about this date that she just had. And the friend says, "Oh my gosh, why that's Christian." And this is something Sigrid didn't know, but Christian is the heir to an enormous fortune. He's a multimillionaire. So now Sigrid, who found Christian a nice young guy, but kind of dull and kind of shy, suddenly decides maybe she'll have a second date with this fellow after all. Now, the only thing that she really knows about Christian is that Christian lives alone and has a dog. She meets the dog. Now, that's where we get to our title here, Good Boy. The dog turns out to be, and this is not exactly a spoiler because it happens fairly early in the film, the dog turns out not to be a dog, but a person in a dog costume who, however, behaves exactly like a dog, walks around on all fours, eats out of a bowl on the floor, etc., etc., etc. So this is very strange. Now Sigrid again has to decide, is this worth this young man who I'm dating now is a multimillionaire? Does that overcome the fact that he evidently has this very odd relationship with somebody? So Sigrid and her friend look up a little bit online about this, and what they find out online is that there is a small but real, now I'm not sure if this is true, it probably is, a small but real community of people who like to be dogs, people who like to behave as dogs, who like to be mastered as dogs. It's kind of a bondage and discipline kind of a thing, kind of a submission and dominance kind of a thing. But apparently there are people who like to behave like dogs and have a master who is their master. So maybe that's what's going on here. So anyway, Sigrid, tempted largely by the fact that Christian still seems like a nice young guy apart from this, and by the fact that he is, after all, a multimillionaire, she decides to keep this relationship going for a while. And it's a little bit strange. They're in bed together, and there is the dog sort of hanging out in the room and this and that, but she decides to sort of put up with this for a while and see what will happen. Well, eventually, and I won't say too much about this, but well into the movie, the dog finally speaks to Sigrid as a human and says, "We've got to get out of here." So that's when this turns into what it is, which is a horror movie. It turns out that the dog is not exactly willingly submissive in this arrangement, and apparently Christian is not as shy as he appeared to be, but is in fact keeping this arrangement by some kind of force. And now Sigrid is totally within the world of Christian, and well, You'll find out if you watch the movie where this is all going. Now, this is all a very, very interesting and bizarre premise for a movie, in my opinion. It's a very daring premise. We have a movie here with two main characters, Sigrid and Christian, and a third main character who walks around through the entire movie wearing a dog costume. Okay, and acting like a dog, except for the very rare moments when he speaks. It is a man, so I'll say he. So that is an interesting premise for a movie, and is, I think, an interesting premise for a horror movie. The thing is that the filmmaker, Villar-Boas, doesn't seem to have any idea what to do with this story once it's all set up. And by the time we get to the end of the film, it turns into the most ordinary and banal and unimaginative kind of horror movie violence. And it all leads to the kind of ambiguous, semi-resolved conclusion that horror movies these days like to have, which I find occasionally interesting, but often merely frustrating. So, Good Boy. Interesting premise. Very bizarre and bold and brave premise, I would say, to try to make a whole movie on this sort of subject. But it just doesn't, in the very end, go anywhere. So if you really want a movie that is both banal and bizarre at the same time, that's a hard combo to pull off, in my opinion, then Good Boy is the movie for you. If you want a movie that really, in the end, has some real imagination and really goes somewhere and comes to an interesting finale, then stay away from Good Boy. It's not such a good boy. A lot of the way through, I enjoyed watching it. Performances are good. It's very well directed in a sort of a competent and capable way. Unfortunately, the screenplay just runs out of steam before it gets to the end and spoils what might have been a much more interesting horror film. Now back to documentary, but staying with horror in a way. King on Screen is a movie, a French-Belgian production directed by Daphne Biwier, and it is about Stephen King. And it is all about the movie adaptations of Stephen King's novels and stories. Now, as everybody knows, Stephen King has written about a jillion books, novels, short stories, the occasional nonfiction, but he is unbelievably prolific, and he's had a long career, and he just cranks this stuff out. And I've read a whole lot of Stephen King over the course of my life, and some of it I like quite a lot. I've gotten rather tired of him in recent years, but he really, really is one of the major American authors, certainly within the horror and fantasy vein. So, and then out of all of those jillions of stories and novels that he has written, a whole lot of that have been made into movies. Some of them good movies, some of them bad movies. Occasionally, Stephen King has been an actual participant writing the screenplay, maybe acting a little part in a movie. And then a lot of other times, he has just sort of sold the rights and then sat back and waited to see what would happen. This movie, King on Screen, is about exactly that. It is about the on-screen Stephen King, which is to say the adaptations that have been made of his movies. And to that end, the movie includes a bunch of clips from various Stephen King movies, some of them classics, some of them, in my opinion, pretty negligible, and it has a whole lot of talking head interviews with people who have directed or written or somehow have been involved with some of these many, many, many Stephen King adaptations. So what we have here is a movie that's a mix of talking heads and clips. I was hoping for a whole lot more clips and a whole lot longer clips, because some of the Stephen King movies are really great. And there are certainly plenty of clips, although they end up, most of them not being very substantial. They're mostly little dollops here and there, little tiny little snippets. But there's enough in the movie to make it certainly worthwhile for Stephen King movie fans to watch. So, again, some of the Stephen King movies, in my opinion, are extremely major, and they do get due coverage within the film. I would list, at the top of my list, would be The Shining, the very, very great movie by the very, very great Stanley Kubrick, which, to my mind, is the greatest of all the Stephen King adaptations. I will also mention Misery, which gets a lot of coverage in this documentary. It was directed by Rob Reiner, a director whose work I usually don't like very much. But I think Misery is quite a good movie, largely due to excellent performances by Kathy Bates and James Caan. And I'll also mention Carrie, directed by Brian De Palma. Another, I think, very excellent Stephen King movie adaptation, and it gets quite a lot of coverage in this film as well. There's also, however, a good deal of time devoted to movies that I don't consider so major. For example, Dr. Sleep and It, and The Green Mile and Creepshow. These, I think, are not such major movies by a long shot. So they also get a lot of coverage, but it's nice to see them at least mentioned in there. To me, the best parts of the whole King on screen movie are the ones that deal with The Shining, partly because Stephen King didn't much like Stanley Kubrick's very great movie of The Shining. The movie gets into the documentary, gets into the reasons for that. And there's a marvelous clip of Stanley Kubrick and Shelley Duvall shouting at each other during some of the filming of The Shining. Shelley Duvall had a terrible, terrible time making this movie with Stanley Kubrick. And that's really interesting. And it's interesting to see this movie get a fair amount of time within the documentary, since that appears to be the one big major Stephen King movie, which Stephen King didn't especially like. The rest of the film is not quite that interesting. But if you're a fan of Stephen King, if you're a fan of horror and fantasy movies, if you're a fan of some of the directors who made some of these movie adaptations, then you should definitely check out King on Screen. It's a good, solid documentary if you're interested in the subject matter. Not a great movie, but a good movie. I actually would opt for going back and looking at The Shining or Carrie again, and you'll have a better time. But again, if you're a fan of the Stephen King movies, then you should not miss King on Screen, because it certainly covers a whole lot of them, and it has its watchable moments. So that is my semi-documentary story this week.
For which we thank you, as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films. Scouts Honor, The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America, Good Boy, and King on Screen.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.